And now for our third and final installment of our series of updates on the AFC North. We're going to talk with Scott Brown from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review to talk about the Steelers. Scott, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's been a very eventful offseason, to say the least, for the Steelers. Let's start with the offense and start with the fact that there is a new offensive coordinator in Todd Haley who comes over as the former head coach of the Chiefs. He replaces Bruce Arians. And right off the bat, I mean, this was a controversial hiring, at least in terms of the publicity it received, about how good a fit Haley would be, how different his ideas might be given what the Steelers had been doing, and especially the relationship with Ben Roethlisberger. A lot of talk about some strain between the two of them. How is that working out, and what are you seeing with Haley's influence?
Well, I think to start, Vic, I'm not sure that the strain between – or the supposed strain between Roethlisberger and Haley necessarily comes from any, you know, personality conflict between the two, although they're both strong-willed, fiery guys, ultra-competitive. I just think the whole way it was handled, you know, the Steelers sort of made a mess of how Bruce Arians was ushered out with that retirement, and then, you know, he's back coaching less than 2 weeks later, and you know, that Ben was very close with Bruce Arians, you know, much more than a player-coach relationship. And he had a comfort level there. And I think it was a bit of a wake-up call for him when the Steelers made that move. And he's been pretty candid saying that at this juncture of his career, you know, it's a tough starting over with a new offense. That being said, I think all went as well as could be expected during the OTAs and the mini camp. You know, Ben said that, you know, things are starting to come to him. It's starting to get a little bit easier as far as understanding the playbook and having a better grasp on it. And he seemed pretty upbeat as far as, you know, where the offense is going to the camp. All that said, you know, we haven't seen that ultra-competitive side of Todd Haley yet. He said himself that he usually waits until training camp to bring that out, and especially, you know, he sort of stayed back, if you will,
right,
during the OTAs because he wants these guys to just feel comfortable since they're learning a new offense. So, you know, there's certainly the potential there for Ben Roethlisberger and Todd Haley to clash or butt heads in training camp and beyond. But I think at this juncture, you know, they're in pretty good standing as far as you know, Ben seems to finally, if not be embracing the offense, you know, he realizes that, you know, this is the reality now. And, and I think he's gotten a lot more comfortable with, you know, what they're going to try and do under Todd Haley.
We're visiting with Scott Brown. He covers the Steelers for the Pittsburgh Tribune Review as we give you our update on the Steelers as part of a series of updates of the rest of the AFC North. Let's talk about this roster, which really is going to look different from the standpoint of some veteran players no longer on this football team, most notably Hines Ward retiring, James Ferrier, the longtime linebacker leader of that defense, it was released. Chris Hoke decided to retire. He'd been a you know, solid backup guy in the middle of that defensive line. Aaron Smith also likely going into retirement on the defensive line. So some recognizable names, steady people, no longer there. And to add to all that, Casey Hampton, the big nose tackle, is going to start training camp on the PUP list, the physically unable to perform list, with a torn ACL. So that looks to me like a pretty dramatic impact on that defense, Scott.
Yeah, Vic, it was a little wild when we were in the locker room last week after training camp practices, and you look in one corner of the locker room, and instead of seeing Hines Ward in his, as we call him, his penthouse, because he had a couple lockers, you see Antonio Brown dressing there, and then you look where Aaron Smith and James Ferrier, their lockers were one another, and there was two different faces there. You didn't hear Chris Hoke, who had a strong presence in the locker room, at the other end there. So, yeah, a lot of change. And I think that's one thing that Mike Tomlin will be looking for in training camp is a few guys to step up in that leadership role And the good thing for the Steelers is they have guys in that locker room that can do it. They have guys that can lead by example and be a little vocal if they have to, kind of like Aaron Smith was. Brett Kiesel's a pretty good example of that. They have another guy that can be vocal in Ryan Clark. And Troy Polamalu actually attended all the OTA sessions this time at the behest of Tomlin, just to add some more veteran presence. And so that's a signal that he might become more of a leader, although he's never going to be the real rah-rah vocal guy in that locker room or in that huddle. But I think they have a lot of leadership that they can still lean on, even though they lost a ton of it when they released Ward and James Ferrier. And if you look at it, Vic, roster-wise, they didn't lose a whole lot. And I'm just talking about last year, you know, when they got rid of some of those guys. You know, by the end of the season, Hines Ward wasn't playing much at all and was not really a factor in the passing game. Aaron Smith was out. He had been hurt earlier in the season. You know, Chris Hoke, he was doing a good job as a backup, but still a backup. And, you know, James Ferrier was starting, but he was also starting to share time inside linebacker with Larry Foote. So, you know, even though it was a pretty dramatic offseason for the Steelers as far as change, they didn't lose a whole lot talking on the field with some of the guys they released. So, you know, their nucleus is pretty much intact.
Now, another player who's going to be missing at the start of training camp and likely on the PUP list is Rashard Mendenhall, also recovering from a torn ACL at Casey Hampton. What's the what do you think the ramification of that is going to be, Scott?
Well, also, Vic, both Mendenhall and Casey Hampton, you know, I talked to Kevin Colbert late last week, and he said that he thinks, or at least it's his guess, that both will probably start the regular season on the pop list, which means they would miss the first six games, which is obviously significant. Running back, it's intriguing because they don't have a ton of experience. They don't have much experience, actually, behind Mendenhall. But Isaac Redman, who played well other than a couple of fumbles in Cleveland that season, regular season finale after Mendenhall went down, he's done well in limited action, and he's the kind of guy that the Steeler fans have grown to love just because he's a real hard runner, decisive runner, doesn't dance around a lot back there. And he's a guy that the Steelers are really interested in seeing if he can thrive as a regular back, every down back. And you also have some intriguing guys behind him. Jonathan Wire, he's done well in limited action, and he's battled some weight problems the last couple of years since joining the Steelers, but he looks like he's in the best shape of his life. Seems like the light's kind of gone on there with him. You have Baron Batch. He was really a training camp sensation last year before tearing his ACL. He looks like he's close to 100% and is pushing for a significant role this season. Then they have the rookie they drafted out of Chris Rania, who might be the fastest player on the team, and certainly is while Mike Wallace is in there. And he's a guy Todd Haley seems to be looking at as someone that he might use as far as trying to create mismatches out of the backfield, you know, maybe lining up in the slot or even as a receiver. So they have some talent there, and I know Mike Tomlin is real pleased with those backs and what they've done when they've gotten their opportunities. But the big question there is, you know, can they produce, right, you know, when they're doing it a lot more than just the limited opportunities they've had. But I do know the Steelers really like what they have behind Mendenhall. It's just a matter of those guys proving they can do it game in and game out.
You mentioned Mike Wallace's name, Scott, as far as any uncertainty with him with his contract. I know he's still been trying to get something done and something to his liking. Where does that stand?
Well, in talking to Kevin Colbert last week, you know, he said they're still, the goal is to sign him to a long-term contract, and that's been the goal since the offseason started. And, you know, the Steelers have been very clear about that, and that they want Mike Wallace back, and they're very hopeful they can get something done. A couple factors that will determine that is, A, you know, how much money they can pay him. You know, they've had some salary cap issues the last few years, and I'm not sure how much room they have under the cap, given some of the contracts that they doled out last year. When you look at guys like Lawrence Timmons and Lamar Woodley and Troy Polamalu, and the other part of that equation is Mike Wallace himself. You know, all indications are that he wants to be paid as one of the top wide receivers in the league, and I'm just not sure the Steelers are going to be willing to go there, even if they can do that from a salary cap standpoint. You look at Antonio Brown, who emerged last year and actually won the players with his team MVP. They got to pay him down the line sooner rather than later. He's his contract's up after this season. So, you know, it could come down to something where, you know, they have to decide whether to pay one or the other. And, you know, to me, Antonio Brown is a more complete wide receiver at this point. So I would guess Mike Wallace, I think they're going to, they are going to try and get something done. But if he wants to get paid as one of the top wide receivers in the league, I just don't think it's going to happen in Pittsburgh.
The draft, heavy emphasis obviously on offensive line. David DeCastro, the first-round pick, guard from Stanford. Mike Adams, the tackle from Ohio State, the second-round pick, setting the tone there. How do you see those two players in particular, but the draft in general, panning out for the Steelers team this year?
I think DeCastro is a guy that they're going to be able to plug in there from day one at training camp at right guard, and he'll be off and running. He, you know, when they took him, they said he was one of the safer picks in the draft. And I think all indications are that he is going to be a guy they're going to plug in, and he'll play at a high, if not Pro Bowl level, for 10 years. The intriguing guy to watch, Vic, is Mike Adams. And I say that because the Steelers had character concerns with him to the point where they took him off their draft board, and they didn't put him back on until Mike Adams requested a visit with the Steelers and talked to them, sort of explained himself, and they were obviously satisfied enough with what they heard and other research or digging they did on him to take him. But you know, they were also very clear that he came with some red flags, and even with that, the fact that he missed all the OTAs because of Ohio State's class schedule, all indications are is that they're going to give him every opportunity to win that left tackle job. And, I mean, that's pretty surprising when you consider how important the position is and also, you know, his pass in the practice he missed.
Great stuff, Scott, and a tremendous and thorough breakdown of the Steelers, and we look forward to catching up with you down the line.
All right, Vic, thanks for having me. Enjoy the offseason.
All right, he is Scott Brown for the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.